Once you opening pages and turning through the Word, I'm preaching out of the New Living Translation. Whichever translation you have is fine. If that's a distraction, that's okay. You can follow with me on the screen. But I really want to encourage you to have a Bible open, whether it's physical paper or it's on your phone. And we're going to be in Psalm chapter 46 this morning. And as we go, I want to just express to you, if there's a, maybe a little bit cheesy, but if there's a Christmas wish for my ministry, for my service as a pastor, it's not that my church would be the biggest church in the world. If one life is transformed, I've accomplished what God has called me to do. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be selfish about that one life because, well, friends, just one more. And just one more. My greatest desire of my ministry is a transformed people. And this morning, we're talking about something that is not just a in our minds, but a reality manifest within who we are because God has infilled us with the Holy Spirit. So let me tell you, this morning we're talking about peace, if you haven't caught on yet. Peace doesn't mean good. Sometimes peace, as we're going to see in the psalmist, is amidst the mountains falling down around us. Yet a transformed heart says, I surrender to you, God. Okay, surrender, not meaning give up, meaning pressing through. Okay, and I know someone this morning might even be saying, someone who's hearing these words maybe later on might be saying, Pastor, I hear you. But I come because I want to be around people who are nice, and maybe it works for you, but it's never worked for me. My friend, you do not know the God I know, who has been patient with me, who has dealt with my stupidity and my rebellious attitudes, my failings, my shortcomings. And I know a God who loved me and chose me, even though he knew that I would let him down from time to time. And that is the God of peace that I want to show you this morning. Are you with me? Give me a thumbs up if you're with me. Give me a thumbs down if you're like, bro, get out. I mean, if that's okay too, I can take it. Find Psalm chapter 46, and as you do, I want to remind you about Advent. We're talking about this word Advent, and we're focusing in on peace. Advent comes from the Latin word that means arriving. So arriving of what? Well, another word that's not English, but God dwelling with us, a Hebrew word, is Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. It's a song that we sing from time to time in the Christmas season. God with us. So when we talk about the God of peace, and last week we examined hope, this week examining peace, can I tell you hope leads to peace? By faith, hope leads to peace. And God did not leave us on our own. There are times, can we confess, that it feels like I'm alone. And in those moments, my prayer is, God, would you help me to be aware of your presence? Because my flesh is failing. Would you strengthen my spirit? Psalm 46. A song of the descendants of Korah. Does that matter? No, not really. It's telling us who wrote this. These are singers, musicians in the temple of Israel. And that comes into play. We're going to see something here in a moment. I'll explain it to you in a little bit. But there's an instrumental portion. And it gives us time to chew on the words. So we're going to pause through the scripture. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos. Their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders, and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's army is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come see the glorious works of the Lord, how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes war to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow, snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. One of the commentaries on this passage, a commentary is a book of language and history experts who give us explanations about the situation in the scripture, okay? And so one commentary calls this Psalm 46, confident in God's protective power. Do you know, we're going to get to this again in a minute, not everything in this psalm has come to pass. Are you aware God's temple was destroyed in Israel? The city was overrun and destroyed several times. Okay, so just put that in your back pocket. Let's hold on to that for a minute, can we? Because there's got to be something more in this passage than just the city of Jerusalem. One commentator said, God himself is a place of refuge. What's a refuge? Think about that for a moment. If I was to have a refuge, it means I've got a place where I'm going to go hunker down, find some cover, a place to be amidst whatever is happening. He also says that God himself was a strength for his people. So God alone, then, is our refuge and our strength. God, not that God is something or someone else, God himself is their help. How many times when things get difficult do we run to something other than God first? You know what I'm guilty of? When things get really ugly, do you know, and you'll be like, okay, cool, dude. A very cold can of Sprite. And I know that's dumb. And that's how I know I'm not trying to make light of addiction at all. That's how I know I have an issue with my soda sugar, right? And I know that there are far worse substance abuse issues. That's a conversation for January. Just sort of prefacing this. I mean, we're talking about January, we're diving straight into disciple of Jesus, follower, learner of Jesus, and we're going to hit all kinds of subjects, bro. It's going to be so good. What's yours? I've heard of people, their first problem is calling their mom or their best friend. Can our spouse be our refuge before God? Can our work be our refuge before God? Can our... We could just go on and on and on and on. In other words, we could call that our idols. Are you tracking with me? A thing that we place before God. Here in the psalmist, he's saying, you, O Lord, are both my refuge, my strength, and my help. Church, can I give you a secret to success in God? Go to him first. I'm not saying only go. Like sometimes, man, I got to call my wife and be like, this was hard. But if I haven't told my God first, can I give you just, if nothing else this morning, start with God. Our refuge and our strength. A very present help, as some translation reads, the secret of the confidence is the awareness of God's nearness to us. And if you know your Old Testament history, which some of you may not, let me tell you, the writer of this passage did not have the proximity to God that you and I have privilege to. See, the work of Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, the work of Jesus leads to the cross and to the resurrection, and the gift of the Holy Spirit means you and I have a proximity to God that the writer of this couldn't even really understand. Yet they said, your nearness, God, is my refuge and my strength. So when we read about, or when we sing about the same God, friends, in some ways, that's what we're talking about. Your faithfulness and your proximity. And I know someone this morning is saying, but Pastor, you don't know how bad it has been. You're right. I probably don't. You might still say, where is God when? Friends, I want to tell you that I have seen things that should have never been seen, personally. Terrible things that are unfair, unjust, disgusting, revolting, and heartbreaking. Things that have troubled me to the depth of who I am, to my core. And if I'm transparent with you, some of these things that I have seen and experienced trouble me even now as I'm reading these words. I wanted to read them specifically to get through them correctly. Things that make us say, where is God? Can I tell you right by your side, whether you realize it or not? And I know that if you're saying, where is God in this, that's as bad can be. The peace of Christmas is not a thought process. It's a reality that God chose to even be near to you amidst the hardest thing that you will ever go through. Lord, would you reveal yourself more to us? My prayer, friends, is that you will realize how close God is. Look at verse 2 and verse 3, would you, with me, would you? So we will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble to the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. And I know I emphasized the word let there, but the emphasis here is, so what? Let it come. My God is still my God. And then there's an interlude, an opportunity for stillness. So we don't actually know what happened in this section. Some translations use the word Selah. It translates directly into interlude. Why? Music has a way of moving humans. It's been a part of humans forever. It's a gift, I think, from God. And in the band, we say, we're going to let the song breathe here. Now, is the song actually breathing? No. But let's just let some space be for the people to rest in what we just did. And this theme is going to continue here. Perhaps, and it's an opportunity, this interlude, this Selah, it's an opportunity for the listener to hear the music and just dwell in the moment of what was just said. That's a powerful statement. So let the earth crumble. Let the ocean roar. Wow. That's a powerful statement. An opportunity for us to pause and be still. Be still while the proverbial earthquakes and oceans roar. I'm not sure that the psalmist is writing about an actual earthquake. Although if we tie this into Revelation, that's bound to be there. But in the midst of your life today, when the earth shakes, One author wrote, if it were well if all of us could say, Selah, under the tempests and trials. He wrote, but alas, too often we speak in our haste and lay our trembling hands bewildered among the strings and strike the lyre with a rude crash and mar the melody of our life song. See, friends, what Pastor Spurgeon was saying there, sometimes we get so overwhelmed, we just throw in whatever we can to try and find relief. Instead of saying, God, do you hear my trouble? Be near, O Lord. Hey, wife, I just had a conversation with God. We do the opposite. We go to that substance. We go to that thing. And we say, I need something because I don't know what else to do. The Lord is our refuge. Then bring in your friend. Wow. Can I tell you, the church is here as a support. The church is wrapping their arms physically, emotionally, and spiritually around the Lockley family, around the Temples family, around the... But it's not the church, it's God. And God's gift is the church. Let's not get that confused. Okay? In the fourth verse of Psalm, it says, a river of joy. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. Did you know what's interesting about this? There is no river in Jerusalem. That's weird. What in the world is he talking about? There's no river. There's a spring. You know, Jerusalem is a desert. I had the privilege to go there, and it's very similar to where we live. And so, as an analogy, comparing where we are to where they are, it's great. Because if you go out into our desert and don't know where the water is, do you know what will happen to you? You will die, because there's no water. Life requires water. The psalmist here is writing about something other than a physical river, because there isn't one. He's talking about the Spirit of God. And throughout Scripture, this river, this wellspring of joy, the Spirit of God is referenced. You know, there's a place out in Barstow, Calico Mountains. We had the privilege a couple weeks ago to spend some time out there. And it looks like this. Now, This is the best picture I could get. Somebody put a Google Street Image camera on their Jeep Humvee? Hummer. That's a Hummer. And then drove through the desert. And that's great, because it gives us the privilege of having a picture of exactly where I'm talking about. And I know that there's some green grasses, because this is from springtime. There was probably snow or rain. And you know how grasses sprout up in springtime out here? Like out of nowhere? But then they die, and it's brown, and that's how it usually looks. Right here in this canyon is this spring, which is covered in algae, and that's gross, but it's called Sweetwater Spring. It's good water. We were there just a couple of weeks ago, and it's a lot browner, but there's water, and it's always there. And you know what's amazing? If you drive through the hills of Calico, the mountains out there past Barstow, there is nothing alive. Like some bugs, we saw like seven tarantulas. But there's not animal life. We drove by this spring, hundreds of quail. And they exist as an anomaly in a barren wasteland. Why? Because of water. Can I tell you, your soul without the water of the Spirit is like a barren wasteland. And unless we are drinking from the Spirit, so to speak, we're going to be dry. And if we're dry and parched, when the mountains shake, where is your sustenance? See, we have a contrast, friend. We have a contrast between someone who can say, "So what when it shakes? My God is with me." Versus someone who says, "It's shaking and I have nothing. Where am I going to hide?" Where are you going in the bad place, in the troubled times? Can I tell you again, God is with you. And it makes me think of Genesis chapter 50. We're not going to turn there this morning. You might want to read Genesis 50 on your own another time. The backstory is like this. There's a man named Joseph. And Joseph had some brothers. And his brothers didn't like him. We're not talking about like picking on their little brother. Like they hated him. So you know what they did? Have you ever treated your brother badly? I hope not this bad. They put him in a well, they dropped him in, and they were figuring out how they were going to kill him. And they decided, well, we can't kill him because he is our brother. So they sell him into slavery. That's cool. And then they take his coat and they tear it up, they put animal blood on it, they tell their dad, some animal killed your son, sorry, Dad. Joseph is sold into slavery. He goes to Egypt. He's there in Egypt. He becomes a servant, and he gains favor. God had a plan for Joseph. Even though he was in a well, and then he was sold into slavery, and some time goes by, and he starts to gain favor. And he moves up into the leader of this family's house, the lead servant. And the guy's wife says, "Hey." I don't know if it was like that, but you get the idea. It was in Egyptian, so it definitely was different than hey. And she's like, "What's up, boy, what'd that do?" And he's like, "No, I can't." So you know what she does? She lies, says he did, has him thrown in jail. You say, this guy's got it rough. He makes some friends. His friends forget about him in jail. Eventually, one guy's like, "Hey, I know this dude." He gets brought out of jail. He starts working for the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is the leader of the entire kingdom. And God puts favor on this man who's been thrown in a well, who's been sold into slavery. Dad thinks he's been killed. He goes to jail, to work. He goes to jail. And then he gets lifted up to the point that he's second in command. My guy's been fixed. And then a famine hits the land. And guess who shows up? His brothers who sold him into slavery. He says this. He says, "What you meant for evil, God has worked for good." How bad is bad enough? Thrown in jail falsely, forgotten in jail, thrown in a well, sold into slavery. Listen, I know some of us have had a bad storyline, but that's pretty bad. And so when we say what the enemy meant for evil, God works for good, that doesn't mean that what's going on when the mountains are crumbling, that it's like, yay! Because it's not. It's hard. And it's going to be hard. But God is near. And he has a purpose for your life. The hope that is concrete. Find Romans chapter 5, would you? Romans chapter 5. Can I tell you, faith brings peace. We have a hope of what's to come. Faith is built on what has existed, what has been. And peace is experiential. It's not something we hope for one day, but that peace can be amidst the so what. We rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. The only way, friends, the only way Romans chapter 5, verse 3 makes any sense is the peace of Jesus. Otherwise, that's just straight foolish. That is foolish. But I'm reminded, God used the fool to show his greatness. The things that don't make sense in this upside-down kingdom of God, goodness gracious. And endurance develops strength and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loved us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So when I said we have a privilege, that's what I'm talking about, friend. The author in Romans goes on to talk about peace with God by our faith in him. And if we have peace with God, then we'll have peace in our circumstance. Though it's tormenting around us, there's a stillness. You know, there was a preacher, a man of God named Martin Luther, who lived a long time ago. And he wrote these words based on his reading of Psalm 46. A mighty fortress is our God. You remember a refuge? A bulwark, a buildup of safety that is never failing. Our helper amidst the flood of all kinds of mortal problems that are prevailing. For still our ancient foe, the enemy, doth seek to work us woe. He's trying to get us broken. His craft and his power are great because he is armed with hatred. Oh my. On earth there is not an equal. Did we in our own striving, our own strength confide, we would be losing. Goes on to say, we're not the right man on our side. That is Jesus Christ. So let's go back, if you would, to Psalm 46, just so I'm going to wrap up with this. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. Breaks the bow, snaps the spear, burns the shield. That's not happened. That's not happened. That tells us that this is pointing to some time yet to be. We read earlier, the God of heaven's armies. Man, I remember, if you want to read the last half of Revelation, you might just do that and see this. The God of heaven's army, Jesus, shows up in the end of days on a white horse with the army of heaven surrounding him. And there's this giant battle amassed to fight Jesus. And the entire army doesn't do a thing because with one word, Jesus says it's over. And that's how the victory is won. My God is so great. Even though he has a massive army, all he's got to do is speak. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas, the same Jesus that leads to the cross on Easter and the resurrection, is the same Jesus who, with the word of his mouth, finishes the battle and is at work in us. This peace is not weakness. It's not surrender to say, I give up. It's surrender to say, God, you are greater than I could ever be. Would you be my strength and my shield, my fortress, my refuge, my place of safety, my ever-present help? And in verse 10, the author switches. Do you see the quotations? It is God himself says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Have you ever been in an earthquake? If you've lived in California, now recently I know. I mean, unless you were up north, there was a big one a little while ago. You know, there's not a lot of stillness in an earthquake. That's kind of the point, I guess. This isn't be still and just sit back. This is an active be still. Be planted. Be secure in God. When I was little, there was a really, really big earthquake by my hometown. I lived in Joshua Tree. And I have this memory being woken and running down the hallway because I wanted to get to my parents. I was little. This is 92. I was 10. And I remember bouncing off the walls as I ran down the hallway. In memory, it's actually kind of cool. It's terrible. Do you know why I bounced from wall to wall? Because I wasn't planted. I wasn't still. And I know now, if I'm planted, I'm secure. If it was in my own striving, though, in this kind of situation, it would be failing. It's not planted in my strength. And maybe that's where some of us have been going wrong. I'm going to power through this. Hear me, friend. If it was by our own striving, we would be losing. Are you losing because you're not resting in God? I would like to invite you to join me in prayer. Martin Luther is credited as saying, when in greatest distress, he said, let us sing the 46th Psalm and let the devil do his worst. Father, I pray for confidence and strength this morning upon your people, all who would hear these words. I pray for strength amidst whatever it is that is happening. And I know, God, that some of us throw our hands up and say, I've got nothing left. Would you make us strong in our weakness, Father? And for those this morning who are not amidst the roaring sea or the quaking mountains, Father, I pray for an invigoration in their lives. I pray for an encouragement, because we know, the psalmist wrote, when? We know it's a matter of time, God, so give us strength today while we have the breath to say it. And when would you be our refuge and our strength? Father, I confess the times when I've tried to do it on my own and I have found myself losing. Would you forgive me and renew me and give me purpose? Father, do a mighty thing in my life. Use me for good, not for evil. Though there has been a history of failure, a history of evil, what the enemy, through his cruel hate, has said, this is the final straw. God, would you work it for even good here? And would you receive glory and praise in the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit? Amen and amen. Friends, if that's your prayer this morning, I need you to know. I need to know about it because I need to walk with you. And we have family in this church who wants to walk with you. If that's your prayer this morning, Pastor Dave is standing in the back. He's going to have a little brown card in his pocket. And he's going to give it to you. Would you just tell us what God is doing? You say, I've got nothing to say. Stop it.
Stop it.
Revelation tells us that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, your story is important. And it's a joy to the church to hear what God is doing in your life. We rejoice because God is faithful. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Friends, I mentioned earlier about our Blue Christmas service. I just want to make sure you understand, it's not just for people who have lost someone. This is for just coming and bringing our lament to the Lord in the midst of the Christmas story. Maybe you've got a friend or family member who could be invited to this opportunity of bringing our grief to the Lord, inviting him in to be our hope and our peace. Yeah. Speaking of, I got a message from Michelle. Robert passed at 9:52 this morning. And so I said, we're grieving with you. We're grieving. I just got it a few minutes ago. We're grieving with you today. We're also rejoicing in the hope of eternal life. And I just invite you to send a message or reach out if you need some ideas of how to be ministering to her and Ian. You come see me and Pastor Brian.
Let's just take an opportunity and pray over this home together. Would you join me in prayer? God, we lift up Robert and we lift up Ian and Michelle and Nori Beth in these moments of stillness. And our heart breaks for this family, Lord, but we also rejoice in the hope of glory. So while there is stillness in the home, would you be the ever-present help? We know Robert has suffered, and we're reminded that there's a place Jesus promised with no more suffering. Would you be our strength? In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so would you stand together as we lift our hearts and our voices in praise for who God is, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's sing.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,
go in grace and peace today. Have a great week of worship.
Friends, I do want to remind you, if you ordered pupusas, they are for sale. If you did not, stop by the kitchen. We have food for sale as a fundraiser. Pupusas for sale. If you ordered them, go get them or go have some lunch here and spend some time together. Amen.